I was born bold.
Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Kieser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Not sure how many people are up in the middle of the night watching the Aussies take on South Africa in the second T20 from Port Elizabeth. Ben Horn from News Corp is over there covering it. We read 20 runs off two overs, 20 off 12 balls with Davey Warner still at the crease. You could have gone to bed then, Benny, and thought we got the biscuits, but we didn't.
Yeah, g'day, Gary. It was a strange one. Looked like Australia was really cruising there, and particularly with three overs to go, they were well in control, 25 off the last three overs needed. But, look, it was a difficult wicket to bat on. South Africa had the same issues towards the end of their innings. They really slowed down after playing teams in 2020 cricket for the last few months. But, this morning or overnight your time, it was sort of, the first time that they've been tested in a close game and they came up short.
Hey, Ben, good morning to you. Who was bowling at the death for the South Africans?
It was Lungi Nagini who did all the damage. He got smashed in his first over by David Warner, but came back late and was really strong. So he got the big wickets towards the end there. He got Mitchell Marsh, who was sort of caught superbly in the deep, and I think he got Steve Smith's wicket as well, and a third. So, look, he was the one who made the difference. And Kahiso Rabada also got one late as well. So, they shut things down really well. They did bowl well.
So, with Warner 67, I guess without knowing the conditions and everything else, you would have thought, gee, that's, 67 if he's...
He was playing it very sort of, steadily. When you're chasing 158, it's not a big total by T20 standards. So, and the thing was that they were well in control the whole way through. The turning point in the game was Steve Smith's wicket, and he was sort of caught superbly by Faf du Plessis in the outfield. Brilliant low catch if you get a chance to see it, and that was the turning point. With those two at the crease, I think they only needed seven and over from that point, so they were cruising and.
I think Warner was pretty dirty on himself that he didn't get the team home. But in the end, it was the wickets that they were losing that was the problem. It sort of just got out of control very quickly, if you know what I mean. They sort of lost three or four quick wickets around him at the end. And, they just sort of needed one of those players to see it out to the end.
This will be an about-face for the South African journalists covering the cricket over there because they smashed the team after their first loss.
Yeah, and fair enough, they were terrible in the first game. Their bowling was woeful. And, there is a bit of a concern, I think, over where South African cricket's at. But, the T20 form, it's a great leveller. It's pretty hard to kind of to get too far away from a team in a T20 series. There's always a chance of a close result. So, it's set up for a great decider now on Wednesday in Cape Town.
With Benny Horn, who I call the trumpeter, from News Corp. Benny, what about the reception for Stephen Smith and David Warner? There's lots of speculation of how they were going to be received by the South African public. How's that been?
It's been surprisingly tame, Gary, to be honest. The locals were expecting it to be a really torrid reception in Johannesburg for the first game, and it was a pretty festive atmosphere. It wasn't much to really report in the way of... crowd abuse, just sort of the odd thing here or there. But, to be honest, it seems like people here have moved on a fair bit. You're sort of seeing the odd person walk through the crowd, wearing a sort of sandpaper T-shirt or something like that. But the overall vibe of the crowd is that, they've sort of moved on. And, the crowds have been big. Both games have been pretty much sold out. But, if you didn't know the history, you wouldn't know... That there'd really been much coming Warner and Smith's way.
Good to hear. Hey, we look forward to the decider and we might touch base again. We appreciate you joining us, Benny.
Yeah, no problems, guys. Have a good morning.
You can read his stuff in the Herald Sun. He's from News Corp, the trumpeter.
Beep, beep. That's what we like to hear from Benny.
What's beep, beep mean?
Yeah, the horn. Beep, beep. Hey, let's take a look at what's making headlines around the country this morning.
Yes, in the back pages of the newspapers from around the country.
That's right. I've got the Daily Telegraph here from Steak and Kidney. Held a play Bulldogs coach blast NRL's rep injury rule. So they had that game between the Indigenous players at the weekend, between the
Maoris.
The Maoris and
the Indigenous boys.
The Australian Indigenous boys. And now there's a concern that, you know, some of those players will get injured. They won't be available for their own team. So that's a conversation that may be taking place after Friday night here in Melbourne.
It's really topical, isn't it? I mean, we talk about representative footy and how they embrace it in the NRL, but there it is, back page this morning. Bulldog coach blasts the NRL's rep injury rules. I've got the Courier Mail, which is up there in Brisbane, and the good news is that the Brisbane Lions are all over the back page there. Whispers, trial for Lions is power surge. So got a picture of Link McCarthy. So they're continuing to make headways up there in Brisbane.
And just finally, the Adelaide Advertiser this morning, Ford hits back. There's a photo of Scotty McLaughlin triumphing after fuel error cost Van Gisbergen the victory.
Big in Adelaide, the Adelaide 500.
Oh, very, very big.
That is a massive story.
Scotty McLaughlin, he was over in USA early in the week, wouldn't he?
This might be his last year here with the supercars, given where he's going. I've also got the Sydney Morning Herald. The World Cup won't flop if the hosts crash out, insists CEO. So there's a little bit of conditioning there, just in case the unthinkable happens. Australia plays South Africa tonight, or this afternoon rather, 6 o'clock, that's tonight, in the Women's T20. That's over at the Wacker. They want to win that, Whispers.
They would.
Given that this T20 here and the final's going to be at the MCG and Katy Perry's coming over to sing, well, they want Australia to be playing, Wisp. So they don't want to drop that game. But that's an interesting comment from the CEO. It won't be a flop if Australia...
It will be.
Yes, it will.
It'll be a major flop, given that they're ranked number one.
I'll guess it's a disaster if Australia don't make the final.
And closer to home, The Age Sport are reporting this morning. This is Daniel Chen. Attorney who's doing some fine work for The Age. Petrarca close to new deal, discussion with Demons on track. So you and I were talking earlier about that's the best game you and I have ever seen him play.
Ever.
In a Demon jumper. Well, ever. He's 24 years of age. They're looking, his management are now looking at re-signing him at Melbourne or having those discussions. He turns 24 in January, out of contract at season's end, but sources close to the situation told The Age that contract discussions between Melbourne and Robbie D'Arazio of Connors Sports Management were going positively.
Well, okay.
Before the weekend, they were going positively.
Let's do some role-playing. I'll be... You be Robbie D'Arazio, I'll be Gary Pert.
Okay.
Go.
Well, look, I know we had some discussions before the game on Saturday, but we're just going to put him on hold for a little while because he actually exceeded our expectation. Yeah, this is what I'm doing now as a manager. I'm going back and I'm saying, all the discussions we've had until this point...
I'll be Gary Pert then.
...were along the lines of, yes, we're going to re-sign. Now we're just going to go out there and have a look.
I'll be Gary Pert. I'm glad you said that because if you had come in here knocking on the door saying we want a big contract on the back of a practice match, then you would have been showing the door pretty quickly, Robbie Ginepri. Out you get and come back when he does it five times in a row on the home and away.
Well, Purdy, that is just a sample of what this kid's capable of doing.
Let's see it when there's 4 points on the line. 6:30 News, McCaffey, please.
See you at the end of the season.
I'm back. I was born bold.
Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Keyser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Conversation starter for Kia's open season on now with match winning deals. Great to have your company on this Monday. Lines are open here, 1300 736 736 or 0433 911 16. I follow the text. I try and keep an eye on it, and I love our audience. They get involved. I'm sensing some grumpiness out there. I don't know why. Some people out there have had bad weekends. Our job to try and get you in a better mood. So join us at any stage.
Look at that one that just came through.
I love your passion. It makes us laugh.
Nick,
it doesn't upset
I'm not reading
us.
It out, Nick, but we love it.
Yeah, Nick, by the way, we're with you on that. We are right with you. Hey, a big weekend, as I said. AFLW, AFL return in a big, big way. We've got cricket from overnight. We've got Women's T20 tonight. We've had a world boxing title fight. So lots to talk about, and a copy of the 2020 AFL record season guide to our best caller and or texter, Whispers. What do you want to start with? I want to start with this.
Okay, you asked me a question.
I wasn't here on... I wasn't here.
Yeah, you were Friday.
I was. I wasn't watching your news on Friday night. And the big story that came out of your Channel 7 news on Friday night was, I think, now, correct me if I'm wrong, you declared that
Tom Chadwick had the story.
Tom Chadwick, that Max Gawn would be the outright captain of Melbourne. Is that right?
Yes. We inferred that.
What can you tell us about that?
Well, the story really was the fact that Jack Viney wouldn't be the captain of Melbourne, and this had been as a result of the players' vote at Melbourne. And that I guess there was a lot of speculation around Max Gawn. There was a lot of hype around him being the new leader. But that now means that Nathan Jones stood down. The players' vote meant that Jack Viney wasn't going to be that. I think he's still going to be thereabouts in their leadership group, that type of thing.
He
obviously, and this is the thing. Like, players, by definition of being elite athletes, have egos, and we all have egos. Mm. And when you don't get the players' vote, and you are effectively overlooked as the captain, then it has an effect on a player. But you wouldn't have known that by the way he went out and played at the weekend. It didn't seem to affect him then. It was the same old Jack Viney the way he played. He
played super.
But it hurt. It hurts when you are overlooked. And you want to know why the players. And I think there's the immediate reaction from a player, and we saw this with Zach Merritt, is you have the players turned their back on me. What have I done wrong in their eyes? I've been preparing really hard. I play really hard. They all see that part of it. Mm. But there are a lot of different components now that players are asked to vote upon when they select their leadership.
I'd love to talk to Melbourne, and I dare say in the next day, that today or tomorrow, they'll make this announcement. Then we'll sit back and say, how did it come about? Mm. Was it? Yeah, we spoke about this last week. Was it purely a vote of the players? So that the first year has had as much sway as Nathan Jones?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. And if you look at it now, the other players that have been in the frame, Jake Lever, who's only been there for a short period of time, Stephen May, who's only been there for a short period of time as well.
Are they in the leadership group?
Well, I believe that they will be considered to be in the leadership group. Yeah, I can't categorically say that they will be in the leadership. I would say that Jake Lever is going to be in the leadership group, but I'm not so sure about Stephen May. Mm. But that's, you want to shake up at your football club, don't you?
Of course. Well, particularly
after that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And it's not defining. Jack Viney could come back and captain the club.
Absolutely. And if the feedback is, Jack, you prepare yourself really well, but maybe you need to have more empathy for other players and more compassion for what other players are going through. That's all part of the learning process of being a captain.
Give us your thoughts, 1300 736 736. Melbourne fans, who do you want to captain your club? We'll do a bit of hype or hose here too. Whispers at the North Melbourne and Western Bulldog game. It's a bit of hype about the Dogs. I think it's well-founded. Again, it's a practice match. I like what they've added to the group.
What have they added in
Alex
your mind?
Alex Keith.
Mm, he's steady.
That's what he's added. That's what they've added amongst other things. But gee, he was good. He was so good. Like, he wasn't in the best three players on the ground, but when you're at the ground, you can turn around and you can watch what's happening behind the player and the way he organises, the way he positions, the way he's able to defend two people because of his ability to read the play. I think he could be one of the great additions. Johnny from Epping, I think he wants to talk about Friday night as well. G'day, John.
Yes, good morning, Tim. Good morning, Gary. I watched the game in North Melbourne and the Bulldogs. You yourself and Nick, you called the game.
Yes.
It was two particular incident to hold the ball. Mm. But before I want to go to that, I just want to ask you, if you know the rules or the umpire know the rules, how many seconds the letter to apply to hold the ball before they pinned them? Because I saw two incidents. One was a Colin Daniel. It took about 35 seconds before the umpire decided to pin. And you really got surprised to say, oh, Jesus, how come it took so long the umpire before pinning? And then the other one before that was a Cunnington on the goal square. Mm. It took 5 seconds. Yeah. So do you know if it's a rules on that? How long a player letter to hold the ball before they pin them?
How long's a piece of string, Johnny, I guess is the answer to that. It's about prior opportunity.
What is
more
prior
More so than how long. I know you wanted to talk about this today too.
And you said don't talk about it because you said it's boring.
Well, it just gets people started to talk about rules.
But the point is, it's such a big component of the game now. You've got all these players around the ball all the time. How quickly can a player dispose of the ball when they want to?
Lightning.
Exactly. So how about we just tighten up that whole interpretation of prior opportunity?
So you don't want much prior opportunity.
I don't want much prior opportunity to die because we all know that if a player wants to take it, they can. If they don't want to take it, they draw themselves into the tackle. We get another stop play. There's more congestion around the ball. I say that a player can get rid of the ball in a blink of an eye. So that's your prior opportunity.
Yep.
I like the way that Jared Healy has been discussing this too, about you get team prior opportunity. So the first time he gets a prior opportunity, the second bloke that you transfer the ball to, he doesn't get the prior opportunity.
Yes. All right. That's your
side. I know you don't want to. I know you don't want to engage in this conversation.
I don't.
But it is the single most thing that frustrates me when I watch our game.
It's going to frustrate you in 4 weeks' time. It's going to
unless we change it.
No, you'll never change it.
Why?
Tim, because there's areas of grey. Because John has hit the nail on the head. How long? How long, you say how long, and then the next umpire says, well, I'm going to give it 3 seconds more, and the next bloke says, well, that's your interpretation, I'm going to give it no time.
One step is enough.
Well, that's
one movement is enough. We all know that a player can flick the ball out as quickly as it comes into their hands and their possession.
Hype or hose on Matthew Rowell. Did you see him on Saturday night?
Yes.
As the Gold Coast dismantled Geelong.
He's a very, very, very good player, as you'd expect him to be, given that he was taken number one in the draft. The expectation was he's going to be good, and he's going to be good.
Oh, no.
He's a very good inside, outside.
I've seen enough.
Hard running.
I'm happy to hype.
Are you going with him as player of the year already, are you? The NAB Rising Star?
Yep.
Okay. After one showing.
Yep. His awareness and his toughness and his anyway, that's no great big revelation. How big a loss, Patrick Ambrose, for you? Set for a PCL injury in the practice match on Friday or Saturday. It was 10-weeker, they reckon. Now, you and I both think he's an underrated defender.
Oh, very much an underrated defender. He's one of those guys who just gets the job done week in, week out. So he's a big loss to Essendon. But it's on top of, like if you're an Essendon fan, it's on top of all the other stuff that you've learnt along the way as well. Mm. McKenna going home and, Hooker, all these guys that, before Christmas, so it was 22 or 23 players that hadn't even joined into full training because of problems that they were trying to recover from. And Joe Danaher still not out. All those things, it's like, this time last year they were painting the picture of optimism. This time of the year it's pessimism around Essendon. Now, they won that game at the weekend, but they were playing against Melbourne seconds.
Mm. The results don't matter, do they? So you're not feeling great about the year ahead?
Well, I'm feeling cautious about the year ahead for Essendon.
Mm-hmm.
If it does matter the way that everybody tells us it matters, and that is that you've got to have, an injury-free, uninterrupted preseason, and everyone's got to be on the track flying, well, it hasn't been that for Essendon. It's been an interrupted preseason for them. Tommy Bell Chambers is on the sidelines as well. So I'm thinking they've got a lot of work to do.
Morning, guys. Matty from the Gold Coast. He was at the Suns game. Must say they looked really good. Top draft picks were awesome. I know it was a practice game, but Geelong looked a bit old and tired. Well, I wouldn't be worrying about the Cats, but your mob, good on them. That's what they need to do, put their best foot forward. We might send a book up for you up on the Gold Coast. We'll send the 2020 AFL record season guide up to you, Matty, up there, and there'll be some good reading for you.
You talked about this on Friday night because you're watching Bontempelli. You're watching the Dogs and North Melbourne go around. We'll talk about North Melbourne just briefly too. Bontempelli's game.
It was
one of the most dominant displays of football that you'll ever see from an individual.
And you're trying to work out the motivation because sometimes players go into those games with, survival mentality.
Mm.
And as the game wore on, you thought, I think what he's doing is he's captain outright for the first time. The last time they played in colours was the embarrassing final against the Giants. So you sort of put those two together and you go, no, I'm going to make a statement here. The captain's making the statement. The rest of you can jump on board if you like. And he just came out and absolutely smashed it.
And the great thing is that we get to see him alongside the best players in the competition next Friday night playing in the Vics versus All-Stars game. He may not repeat that because of the talent that's going to be around him on Friday night.
He could,
but he's in great form. Stefan is in Glenburn. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
And you, Steph?
I'm a proud Essendon supporter, and I went on Friday, and it's really, really sad to hear about Paddy Ambrose, but I think it gives our opportunity to Francis, to Gleeson, to Brandon Zerk-Thatcher, to Hurley, to Hooker. We've got James Stewart slowly back running now. Laverty kicks 4 or 5 goals. I feel like our spine's really strong. Ambrose is a bit of a shutdown, sort of one-dimensional player. He doesn't get your 20, 30 disposals, but I feel like a couple of those other players can. And also, just on the Bombers, if you compare us to the Bulldogs in 2014 or Richmond in 2016 and Collingwood in 2017, those three teams all were being talked about in a negative, pessimistic light. And as we evolved, they're going backwards, we're going to sack the coach, what's going on? And then they went on and won grand finals and played finals, and now they're all there. So Essendon has the monkey off its back. There's no expectations. We're going in.
Plenty of expectations at Bomberland, Stefan. I don't think they ever come out.
No, Stefan's got me back in positive.
He's got you back on, has he? Very nicely done. We're going to talk about Darcy Moore too after break. Had some interesting things to say, old Darcy. As we head to that break, Craig's from Mount Martha. G'day, Craig.
Good morning, boys. And hey, Tim, I'm a bit of a Bomber supporter, and I have been for years. And, you know, a number of years ago during the Pep Tie thing, who was the centre back for Collingwood, the captain? Nick, was it Nick?
Nick Maxwell.
Oh, the centre back for Maxwell, yeah. He said it was all about the one percenters, and you know, I'm thinking getting Joe Danaher back on the park, it's like a 10%er as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it makes such a big difference. And with John Worsfold segueing out this year, you know, that's a mess. That could make or break him this year, I think, Tim.
I think you're right, Craig. They're going to be a fascinating watch this year, and for a number of reasons. The whole Joe Danaher thing will be watched with great interest, and then you've got the passing of the coaching reign over from John Worsfold to Benny Rutten and the control of the team, all that type of thing. They're going to be a fascinating watch.
They are indeed. Darcy Moore's on the agenda after this. We'll talk more about those games that were played on the weekend, and I want to ask you about Katie Brennan too.
I was born bold.
Get a Rockstar car park just 2 minutes from the terminal at Melbourne Airport's new short and sweet parking zone. Struggling with back pain? Time to try Keyser. Visit kieser.com.au. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
That sort of commentary, it's sort of something I've just had to get used to over my career, and it's something that doesn't bother me at all. But look, he's obviously a highly respected coach in the industry, and his results speak for themselves. So I'm really excited to work with him and learn more about how he goes about it. A lot's been made of the club having a lot to work through over this pre-season. So yeah, I'm not in a rush at all, and I'm sure it'll take care of itself.
Darcy Moore on the fact that he's just not in a rush to sign his contract and how excited he is to be playing under Damien Hardwick on Friday night, which just adds a little bit to the story that Tom Brown went with, that the Tigers are eyeing off Darcy Moore as a potential replacement for Alex Rance. What about this from the text? It's a smokescreen. Wisp, the Tigers, they're going to make a play for Moore just so that Collingwood have to pay more.
Well, maybe.
Does that happen?
It used to back in the day. I don't know if it happens anymore. I think if they make a play for him, they'll be fair dinkum about the play they make for him. I can't see him moving from Collingwood, though.
Did you see that interview?
Yeah, I did.
He had the sunglasses on the whole way through that interview.
What would your advice be?
What's your advice?
My advice would be if the sun's shining in your eyes, maybe take them, leave them on, and take them off.
No, it's never a good look when you see the sunglasses on. Lose the sunglasses.
You need to be able to see people's eyes when you're talking to them, Gary.
And I've probably done...
I don't think I have,
but if I have...
Back in the day, I think you did.
Admonished if that was the case. Hillary's on the line.
Hang on. I want to throw this out there. Did you ever see Gary do an interview with his sunglasses on?
Well, I'd need some proof.
Okay.
I may have. If I did, then I was a dill and a pickle. Hillary is from Croydon. Hi, Hillary.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm very happy with my Demons at the weekend. And if I was signing, I would sign Christian Petrarca right now.
How much for, Hillary?
Lose him. Someone will get in and end up grabbing him, and I don't want to lose him. He's my favourite player.
How much would you pay him, Hillary?
As much as he wants. I love him.
Well, good. All right, we'll pass that on to the powers that be at Melbourne. Hillary, thanks for joining us this morning. Lines are open. All the time, 1-300-736-736 is the number.
Hillary's buying the Petrarca hype, which is a great thing. He was great at the weekend, and I think he's capable of being able to do that again. This is the fittest that he's ever been.
Oh.
The fittest that he's ever been his career.
Can I ask you a question? What happened to Katie Brennan?
They're rallying around
Hardwick Tigers rally around Brennan. That's back page of the A. Back page, that is.
Yeah.
And then the back page of the Herald Sun's also got a photo of, is that Katie Prennan? Looks like it.
It is.
And then the headline, Katie gets support. So what's happened to Katie?
Well, she was involved in an incident last weekend where she pushed another player, banged another player's shoulder that was clearly wrapped up and the girl was hurting. So she copped a lot of...
I thought it was in response to the article that Mark Robinson wrote saying that she needed to lift.
Yeah, and that too, yeah. Well, that was associated with that as well.
That just comes with the territory, doesn't it?
Of course it does. Of course it does. But then, you know, when you're...
You don't have to put a back page out to say that you're putting your arms around it.
Well, maybe not. But then, you know, when you're the person that's subjected to that and you're feeling the heat, you're the captain of a team, a new team, all that type of thing, and you're not performing as well as what you would like, and then you have to read about that, then it's not unreasonable, is it, that a football club would wrap its arms around their captain? Is it? Is it unreasonable?
I think it's over the top.
Really?
No, not... No.
Isn't that what football clubs do?
No, not from Richmond. I think the reporting of it's over the top.
Just an angle, I guess, they're looking at.
Just an angle.
Just an angle.
What about... North
Melbourne. I want to ask you about North Melbourne on Friday night.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're at the ground and you talk to some people, and so Reece Shaw really keen to continue on this hard, aggressive style of play that he brought on when he won 7 of the last 12 last year. And they were that again. I mean, they started the game. Jed Anderson was going crazy and Cam Zuha. They were really hard and tough. But that side of it, big tick. The other side of the coin is they've got to get tidier with their disposal. I mean, just fundamental little things like handballing the ball at the feet of their teammate. And that's stark contrast between them and the Western Bulldogs. Bulldogs were pretty slick. They really organised. You know, they always have someone at the back of that pack that they could feed out to, and they're... You know, their handball and close was really good. So I was impressed with the Dogs and I was impressed with the intensity of North, but I wasn't impressed with their skill level. They need to get that up big time.
We used to call Gary sunglasses because you never saw him doing an interview without his sunglasses on. There you go. There's a little bit of feedback for you, but you've apologised for that.
where is that?
Adam's in Perth. Good morning, Adam.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good, Adam.
Yeah, Tim. Mate, I've done a bit of umpiring in my time. Now, listen, you and Gary are in the goal square, and it's a grand final. Ball comes down, bounces up really high, and you're about to take possession, and Gary just sits on you, lets you have your step, bang, holding the ball. Kick in front of goals. Mm-hmm. Another situation, there's a loose ball. Spirit of the game says, reward the guy who makes the ball his sole objective. You need to be a little bit careful with what you're saying because you're just going to have blokes just sweating on one another.
They're already sweating on one another, though. That's exactly what they're doing already. There's so many players around the ball already, Adam.
Yeah, they are. They are, but you need to be careful about making blanket statements, sort of one step.
Do you agree, though, a lot of players understand that they could release the ball if they wanted to, but they are prepared to take the tackle because there's nobody there that they can release the ball to straight away?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, there's that as well. Obviously, as Gary said, everything's a little bit of grey and a bit of nuance in every decision. But you need to be careful with people saying... look, I've got no problem with what you're saying about the cumulative situation, because, you know, if it's clear I'm just offloading to you a half a metre handball, yeah, no dramas. So I've got no dramas with that one. But I think you just need to be a bit careful where we say, I know Nathan Buckley saying no prior opportunity, don't have it. I think we're going to, yeah.
Fair enough, Adam. We've heard you loud and clear this morning, but we all know, by the way, Gary, and I know you love this discussion, but we all know, by the way, that the umpires lose their whistle in a grand final anyway.
What about this I saw on the weekend, if you want to get into that? This is my only comment on it. The guy, the ball was on the ground. One of the players sort of fell on it. And the umpire blew his whistle straight away and balled it up rather than holding off to see whether the player made an attempt to get it out. Yeah. This is why it's a futile exercise talking about it, Tim.
No, it's not.
Take us up to 9 o'clock. Coffee, you get a coffee.
But you could say that about a lot of things in the game. That's a futile exercise, umpiring, having a conversation about them.
Umpiring, I'm talking about.
But if we can improve the game in some way, then we should be making those suggestions.
All right,
should we not?
Let's discuss it over the news.
No, you won't.
We will.